From the Ground Up, a podcast of the Alabama Extension Home Grounds team, educating you about home landscapes, gardens, and home pests.
Thank you for joining us today. My guest today is Becky Griffin. She is the National Coordinator of the Great Southeast Pollinator Census, as well as Bethany O'Rear. She's an extension agent for Central Alabama. And we're going to talk today about the Great Southeast Pollinator Census. Welcome, ladies.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Well, Becky, just tell us a little bit about the Great Southeast Pollinator Census and what all is involved.
All right. So this is the whole Southeast pretty much now is involved, and we're very excited this year to welcome Alabama. So that is the big news. So how the census works is for 2 days in August, participants will go out and find a favorite pollinator plant, and they count the insects that land on that plant for 15 minutes. So that's the crux of it. But it actually is a year-long educational initiative where we talk about building sustainable pollinator habitat. We talk about best management practices in the pollinator garden. We also, of course, want to talk about good insects, good bugs. What are they doing for us? I ran into way too many gardeners who were like, it's a bug, let's spray it. And they didn't really understand the value and the eco-services that these insects provide to our, not only our food gardens, but our flower gardens as well. So that's kind of the census in a nutshell.
So tell me how this all started and how long Sure. have you been doing it?
Well, we started in 2017 and 2018 with a pilot project. And how the whole thing started is I have a statewide position, and I am also the community and school garden coordinator. So I'm in my car a lot, traveling across the state, and I had a lot of car time. And I would go to gardens, and I would find amazing gardeners who knew a lot about soil health and what plant to plant where, but they didn't have that entomological knowledge. They didn't understand insects. At the same time, I was visiting some of our educators, our wonderful educators who are on their way back to school right now, and they had these amazing school gardens that they built, but they weren't using them to capacity because they didn't understand insects. A lot of them hadn't been trained on entomology in college. So they were like, ooh, it's a bug. So all this kind of went in my head, and I thought, we've got to find a way to get some documentation on our pollinators, and mostly to get people to understand how important these pollinators are. So I went to my university, University of Georgia, and said, I have this great idea. And we did a pilot project for 2 years. And in 2019, it was the first statewide project, and we've just kind of gone from there.
So you've gotten several more universities involved with that. So how many do you have now, and who was the first to join in with you?
South Carolina was first through Clemson. My friend Amy Dabbs over there, she does amazing work in horticulture. She knows more about plants in her little finger than I do in my whole body. And so she was the next one to jump on. And then North Carolina through NC State, Amanda Brecher. This year, Florida joined our last year, our 2024. Florida joined for the first time. And then, of course, 2025, Alabama. So this year we're going to have five southeastern states counting pollinators. It's going to be a great party for 2 full days. It's a pollinator party.
You mentioned 2 days. Is there any reason why there's 2 days that you wanted to fit those in there?
Yes. And actually, in Georgia, we have some towns in South Georgia that in August, when they're doing the census, I'll get hate mail. Because it's hot, you know, it's hot in August, but there is a method to the madness. And remember, since we started in Georgia, I needed something blooming from the mountains to the sea in South Georgia and insects flying. All right. So I'm in the mountains in North Georgia, and we have frost as late as 1st of May. So that means we can't depend on anything till May. Well, if I want schools to be involved, our schools in May are like, I'm out of here. End of course testing, field days, you know, their mindset. If you want a teacher to do something, that's not the time to do it. So we went to the fall, and fall is hurricane season. So we started more in September, October, and our 2 years we had horrible weather. So that's how we kind of narrowed down the end of August. But here's a happy coincidence that happened. For those of us who work in bees, we usually know that August is a dearth. We usually don't have a whole lot blooming for the insects. But because of the census being in late August, gardeners over the past 7 years have been planting plants specifically to bloom in August, and we've taken care of some of that dearth. So that wasn't something we planned. It's just kind of one of those serendipitous, happy accidents. So that's been a real positive for us.
So schools and other organizations are really encouraged to get involved in this. And I know in Alabama, Bethany has been kind of leading the charge on this. And I've really been pushing it to our 4-H agents and others that work with school kids. Bethany, if you want to talk about how you got involved and what you're doing here in Alabama.
Sure thing. So Becky reached out to me. We were actually working on another project with Amy Dabbs that she had mentioned earlier. And she said, hey, had a great time working with you on this. And we kind of got to know each other a little better. And then she said, what about this project? And she pitched the project, gave me some description about it, went through kind of what my responsibility would be, and let me know kind of the first year would be a trial year, which was great. So we as agents kind of tried it out to see how the process worked. And then she said, if you guys think this is a fit, we would love for y'all to join us in 2025. And so that's what we've done. We're super excited about it. It is kind of a grassroots effort. So this being our first year, we're trying to figure out, who's interested, who's not. We're working with public gardens. We've talked with zoos. We've worked with the library system across the state. Again, working with 4-H'ers. I actually got to visit with an educator that just happened to see it on Facebook, gave me a call today after she found my name and on the website. And she's going to incorporate it with her higher ed students as well. She's an adjunct for Jacksonville State University. So she's going to work with her college kids too. So we're really excited to hear that, all of the different ways that people can plug into this project. And what I love most about it is truly a citizen science effort, right? And even though you may not be a gardener or you may not be an outdoors person, when people mention pollinators, a lot of folks' eyes light up. So Hopefully those folks will be drawn to this effort, and then that will open the door for us to kind of educate them and share other things and get them more involved in what we're doing.
So you're reaching out to a lot of different groups. I know I've been pushing to my Master Gardener groups, but Master Gardener groups are always welcome. School children and teachers and just about anybody, right? It's for anybody that wants to participate.
Yes, absolutely. And one of the things that I think is so cool, you were mentioning how excited they are. There's a lot of folks that are planning count parties. So they're making it an event. So a lot of the Master Gardeners are actually planning count parties around the state, encouraging the public to come. They've really been advocates for this project. In fact, when it was first announced, I received at least two, if not three, different emails from Master Gardeners that they were so excited that they had been waiting for us to become involved for years, and they were so excited that this was our year.
So Becky, is there any particular plant that everybody needs to look for, or anything goes, or is there, where should everybody concentrate or look for these pollinator plants to do the count on?
Well, it's funny that you asked that, and I will give you the method behind our choice. The first year when we did a pilot project, we had asters for everyone to count on. I had them grown out at a nursery. I traveled across the state, and we had 50 gardens as pilots. I gave them their asters in April and told them we were counting in the fall. And about 80% of those asters did not make it. Either they were neglected, stolen, mowed over, type of thing. So we punted and said, look, y'all go out and look at your garden. If you see a plant that shows insect activity, that's a plant to count on. Now this year, that's the same. We want people to count on whatever, because we're using that data too. What are the insect attracted to? We are doing a special pilot. It's not really a pilot. It is a partnership with the Fit Counts in the UK Ecology and Hydrology Group. And they count, have a pollinator census over there, and they count on several different specific plants, including oregano. So this year, in addition to counting on whatever plants you have any oregano hanging out, maybe it's already started blooming, count on that as well. And this has also been a really cool initiative for apartment dwellers. I know my daughter lives in an apartment, and she has a little kitchen garden on her balcony, and she just grows herbs to cook with. So anybody can go to a big box retailer or garden store and pick up oregano. So if you live in an apartment complex and you've never gotten a count, maybe you didn't want to go to an event, or you just really want, are really enthused and want to count on more than one plant, count on your favorite plant and maybe add oregano as well.
So when they count, do you count each insect, or how does the count work, I guess you would
say? Okay. So you find your plant, and then you make sure it's not too big for you to count on. So if you have a huge thing of zinnias or mountain mint, you want to count on something that's manageable. So maybe a 2x2 square foot amount. And then you count every time an insect lands on that plant. And I understand that's counterintuitive to some people, and that's a lot of numbers to some people. But if you see a swallowtail butterfly land on your plant and then go away and come back, you probably know that's the same swallowtail. If you have a bumblebee that's flying quickly, you can't tell me for sure that it's the same bumblebee. So by counting every time an insect lands, we give the statisticians really what they want. And the beauty of this community science effort is the scientists who are using the data know and understand it is a community science initiative. So although Bethany's done a great job and we all do a great job training our counters, you don't have that much entomology to learn. People who are using the data know that there's not a lot of PhD entomologists out there, but the data is still useful. It's still important. And one of the best things I feel about this project, especially for young people, is it matters. You know, they're not doing busy work. They're not at school doing something that nobody cares about. Their counts count. So our tagline is making a difference for pollinators one count at a time. And I will emphasize to everybody, your counts count. So even if you don't think it was a good count, or even if you're thinking, I'm just, you know, a seventh grader, input that data. It really does make a difference. And I know the teachers love that because they can use the data in their lessons. We have insect mascots that anyone can use. And one of the funnest things is going to a school on that Friday and going down where the buses come in, and we see signs that have our insect mascots telling the kids, today you make a difference. And that to me is so powerful. And then we're raising up the next generation to understand a little bit more about these insects and to be involved.
Yeah, there's so many things that kids these days really don't understand what the importance of pollinators are. And really, you know, if somebody mentions, you know, bats as a pollinator, which we're probably not going to count any bats, but they can be a pollinator. Mm-hmm. People don't realize that. And so with just the decrease in the number of pollinators across the country and across the world, I feel like this is probably a really important, not just important in the Southeast, but around the world. And you said UK was involved, not University of Kentucky, right?
Right.
United
not
Kingdom.
Yet. Not yet.
Not yet, but United Kingdom. So it's good to see that across the pond influence and the message is getting out there. So go ahead.
Let me just say some other things that are really exciting. We have an I Counted sticker that is available on the website, and that was thought up by a participant. Daniel Ballard said, hey, why don't we have one? So as the project evolves, we get to do cooler and cooler things. So you can download those and print them and hand them out at events, or you can put them on your social media. We have a wonderful certificate of participation. And I've seen them handed out at county commissioner meetings, at school board meetings. And we actually have a Spotify playlist. And I've gone into school in the morning of Pollinator Day and had that playlist blasting through the school So those things are really fun. And so it truly is a big pollinator party. I know in Georgia, WSB, our weather station there, they do a forecast for counting pollinators. Cool. So that's pretty exciting. And our governor has given us a commendation for our work. So it's really grown, and it truly is a lot of hard work on people like me and Bethany getting everything ready. But those 2 days are truly like a party.
And Becky, I just want to interject. You mentioned the website. It is a great resource. So many different things are available for the general public, for students, for educators. There's lesson plans available for the teachers. They don't have to kind of reinvent the wheel. It's all there for them. So I think anytime we can make things easier for them, as overwhelmed as they are, that helps kind of them plug that into their classroom. And so I would just encourage folks to visit gsepc.org for all of the great information. There's even bilingual documents on there. So when we have different communities that are participating, they can access those resources. But you guys have really done a great job of providing everything that anybody could possibly need to have a great count.
Well, thank you. And I'm always open for suggestions. It is a project that's not static. It's always evolving. I meet with teachers and gardeners all through the year, and they'll say, hey, what about this? And so every year, I hope it gets a little better. It gets a little easier for people to do the count, a little easier to get them the information they need. One neat thing that happened this year that was totally unexpected that actually helps with our school groups is we had a book written by an internationally known author named Susan Richmond about our project. And I'm telling you, I was blown away. The Great Pollinator Count by Susan Richmond. After the first pollinator census in 2019, she called me and said, I've been following you on social media and following the census, and I write children's books and would like to interview you. Well, we talked for over 2 hours, and before I hung up, she said, I want to do a book just about this project. Wow. Well, I wasn't sure exactly who she was, and when I hung up, I noticed I had books by her already on my shelf. She was that famous of an author. So she wrote the narrative and gave it to me to kind of tweak. The author was assigned an illustrator who's done an amazing job. In 2022, Susan, who's from Boston, Massachusetts, came down with her husband to participate. In this February, I got a package in the mail from the publisher, and it was the author's copies of the book. And it just, I teared up. I mean, little prickles on the back of my neck. Because it truly is a book. It follows our census exactly. And in the back, it talks about the true census. And educators, I've been snapping it up as, with all of the STEM curriculum, the science, technology, mm-hmm. engineering, and math, this is an A. This is part of language arts that they can also add to their curriculum. So these are things you just don't know when you plan a project. Who knew we'd have a book written about it, right?
That's something you obviously was not expecting, but
no.
I mean, you never know where the reach of this will go. And what is the ultimate reach? How many places do you want to reach out to? You mentioned, going across to the UK, but it's called the Great Southeast Pollinator
right.
Census. So we want to take this across the country and rename it?
I'm doing year by year.
Okay.
My goal is to help everyone have a quality census.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's just me. I don't have an assistant or anything. So I'm trying to grow slowly and make sure that I have really great people in place, like Bethany, who's does an amazing job, already had an amazing reputation for her work. So just those type of people. I have had interest from other states who actually are using some of the census resources that are not part of the Southeast. And I actually have a meeting with a university in Pakistan. I've been working with them. They're going to start a census. A lot of our work, like the counting criteria, is already peer-reviewed and in journals. So if anybody wants to use it for like evaluation of pollinator habitat, or things like that, it's already been through peer review. So we get a lot of that usage of census resources as well.
I guess we just want to encourage as much participation as possible. We want Alabama to really make our mark. It's our first year, and we want to go down in history as, really buying in that first year, and every year thereafter, I hope. I, like Becky said, this is not something that is just a one and done. We want this to become an annual event throughout the year for Alabama. And my goal is to have at least one count turned in from all of Alabama's 67 counties. So we've really been pushing hard. Now, granted, that's only 67 counts, which I feel like we'll get way more than that in some areas. But in some of our more rural areas, that might be a challenge. So if we can have just at least just one count from all of Alabama's 67 counties, we can, you know, really promote that we had total participation statewide, that all counties were represented in the count, which would be a huge accomplishment, I think, especially for our first year.
I think that's amazing because I don't have all of Georgia's 139 counties represented every time, or 159 counties represented every time. So that's a huge goal. And I know just from watching on the sidelines, you guys have done an amazing job. And I just know you're going to have great participation. And like you said, I've had people from Alabama call me, when is Alabama going to be part? And I actually have a challenge coming up on social media. I think it's next week, that everybody who comes on social media, you find a friend in Alabama and you call them up and you say, hey, participate in the census with us. So we're going to help on our end. You've done an amazing job. I mean, we are 3 weeks away or something, 4 weeks away. So yeah, it's going to be great 2 days.
Well, thank you. We're just glad that you extended the invitation, and I'm super thankful for the team that we have, all the home horticulture agents, the master gardener groups across the state that have really been promoting this and pushing it out. Like I said, it is truly a grassroots effort, and we're thankful for all of the word of mouth and all of the planning and promotion that's gone on. We're really hoping for a big show.
So where can you get more information again? I know you mentioned the website earlier.
Right.
If you want to reiterate that one again.
Well, it's GSEPC.org, which is kind of hard to remember. So if you just Google Great Southeast Pollinator Census, it's going to be the first thing that comes up. We also have a very active social media, the Southeast Pollinator Census Facebook page, Facebook group. We actually have been going through the different insect categories over the last several weeks. We finished up Wasp Week last week. Mm-hmm. And we have an Instagram page. And of course, if you go to the website, you will see all of the state coordinators, and Bethany's name and contact information is right there.
Well, I appreciate you being on, Becky, and Bethany as well. I know everybody's excited about doing this, and we hope that this podcast will help encourage others to participate as well. And as always, you can always reach out to your local extension agent, and I'm sure they will help get you more information about the Great Southeast Pollinator Census. So thanks for being on.
Thank you.
From the Ground Up is a production of the Alabama Cooperative Extension System.